Pastor Ray Bentley says if you doubt what God is doing in your life, look at your past.
Looking at my current circumstances, I'm often perplexed at what God is doing, especially if He is saying that He is doing something good in my life. Looking to the future, it gets even fuzzier. But when I turn around and look backwards, when I look at my past, all of a sudden things become 2020.
Spreading the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Sometimes our Christian experience seems like approaching the crest of a hill. We don't know what's over the rise, but we can see the twists and turns behind us. We may wonder if the road ahead is trustworthy, but Pastor Ray helps us trust that the faithful God of our past is the faithful God of our future.
Let's open our Bibles to my favorite book of the Bible, the book of Romans, and then to my favorite chapter, which is Romans chapter 8. And then this morning we're going to look at my favorite verse of my favorite chapter of my favorite book in my favorite Bible. So, Romans 8:28 states, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." This is one of the most comforting truths in the Bible. First of all, Paul says, "And we know." Say that out loud with me. "And we know that all things work together for good." Notice what, first of all, Paul does not say. "And we feel that all things work together for good." The reality is that many times I don't feel anything good happening in my life at all. You ever feel like that? You ever look at your circumstances and, you know, you're a little bit fuzzy on exactly what good is coming out? And then you rationalize, "Okay, God, I know You're there, and I believe in You, and I trust in You, and I believe in Your Son, Jesus. And I know that You're all-powerful, and I know that You're working circumstances. But if You are in control of the circumstances of my life, why aren't You using Your power for what would be better in my eyes as what's good?" How many of you have come to discover that what God thinks is good and what you think is good are entirely two different things at times? I think that's true for all of us. And so it's not that we feel all things are working together for good, but that we know. The word "know," what does that word mean? To know means to see or perceive. You ever had something where your eyes are telling you one thing and your heart's telling you another? "I see it, but I don't believe it." That's what Paul is saying. We know because we have seen all things work together for good. We see it, sometimes we don't understand it, sometimes we don't even feel it, but it's nonetheless absolutely true. And it is a fact. It is something that we know as a fact. We know it not only in our minds, but we know it as well within our hearts. All things work together for good. That's a powerful truth. Now, one thing that you have to wonder is Paul just being, you know, really superficially positive? I might say, is Paul being a Pollyanna? No pun intended. Just believe happy thoughts and everything is good and it's all going to work out in the end and it'll be that way. No. Paul was a realist. And there are some Christians that give the impression, and it's very unreal, "Oh, just be happy no matter what's happening. And it's all good. And no matter what happens to you, it's all good. And we're all working through and this is all wonderful. And isn't it grand?" Well, no, it's not always grand. And I don't always feel good about it. I don't always understand it. And sometimes I see one thing, but I feel something differently in my heart. My experiences may be like the Apostle Paul. You don't turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul said, "I am hard pressed on every side." Have you ever felt like that? You ever had a day, a week, or a year where from every direction there's pressure? Pressure at work, pressure on the freeway, pressure from the Christian. "They just cut me off. I can't believe it." So I'll cut him off because I don't have a fish. But anyway. Pressure financially, pressure in relationships, pressure in my body, pressure. And then he says, not only hard pressed on every side, but perplexed. Perplexed. Paul the Apostle, perplexed. That's not an image I have in my mind. I'm so thoroughly confused. I'm hard pressed on every side. Paul, is this really the Apostle Paul? At a moment in time, it would have been. Because Paul is no different than I am. Paul's no different than you are. And he not only says, I was pressed hard on every side, perplexed many times in my life, and struck down. You ever feel like life just mowed you down? You got ran over. And the people didn't even care. They didn't even stop to look. Or if they looked back, they went, yeah, no, mowed that guy down. And then on they go. There you are, flat as a cartoon pancake, going, hello? Does anybody care? Then you hear, no, and on they go. Yet, Paul says, though I was hard-pressed on every side, though there were many times in my life that even I, the apostle who had visions and dreams and revelations, didn't have a clue what God was doing in my life, yet Paul was able to come through all of these experiences. How did he do it? Paul, how do you do it? What is your secret? And he would say, because I know for a fact that all things work together for good. For those who love God. So the question is this morning, do we love God? And those who are called according to his purpose, how does Paul know it? He knew it by faith. He knew it by faith. What does faith mean? Faith means trust. And trust is in a person. Faith is not just believing in certain facts or having certain Christian doctrines that I agree with. There are many Christians that believe in God, believe in the Bible, believe in Jesus Christ, know that when they die, they're going to heaven. Know that God is in control of all things. But their heart experience is not really in tune with what we read in the scriptures. Faith is more than what you believe with in your head. It's what you trust in your heart. Trusting in the person and the personality of God. How can I trust God? How can I grow in my faith and my trust in him? Something that I have learned, and Pastor Chuck Smith has said this often, and I've found it to be so true, and I'm sure you will as well. Looking at my current circumstances, I'm often perplexed at what God is doing, especially if he is saying that he is doing something good in my life. Looking to the future gets even fuzzier. Ah, but when I turn around and look backwards at my life, when I look at my past, all of a sudden things become 20-20. I see that, yeah, I know how I felt at the time. I know what I was going through at the time. I know how hard it was at the time. But look now where I've come. Look where God has brought me. And there were things going on that I didn't know at the time that were circumstances beyond my knowledge that were coming into play and that would eventually meet me. And that would comfort me, that would bless me, that would help me. Hindsight is 20/20. And it's healthy sometimes for us to look back and see all the good and great things God has put together. For we know that all things work together for good. Now we need to set some boundaries for this verse to make sense to us. So I want to give you three boundaries that are very important as we look at this amazing, tremendous promise. Number one, all things work together for good for Christians only. This is not for the world. This is not for everybody. This is not for the guy that's doing his own thing, his own way, in his own time, with his own plan, and his own morals, and his own beliefs, and his own everything else. It ain't working for him. All things are not working together for a guy that's just carving his own path in life. And that's a frightening thought. Life is hard enough as it is. To know that there is an overarching, loving Heavenly Father working things together for my good, I need that. But that is for Christians. In other words, to whom does this verse apply? Obviously, it doesn't apply to everyone, for Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Do you love God? Then God loves you. He loves you first. He is working in your life. He is working all things together for good. Secondly, all things work together for good to become like Christ. All things work together for good. We have to define what good means. It depends on how you define this word. There are some Christians and some pastors and some pulpits that give a message that good means rich. If you believe in God and believe in the Bible, you're going to be rich. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be prosperous. But if that is true, if all things work together for good, meaning that we'll all be rich, this verse isn't true. Because there are many Christians in the world who are poor. And yet many who are poor, who are richer in character, richer in spirit, richer in intimacy with God, than many who have outward signs of wealth. And then secondly, that's also true if the word good means healthy. Is that what good means? That we're all going to be healthy all the time, and if you have the faith, then you're going to be well. That's such a sad thing. God is, I want you to know, I believe in healing, because I believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, and oftentimes, God loves to heal as a manifestation of his grace. But eventually, even the faith healers or those who have gifts of healing die of something. So the point is, it's not that we're always going to be healthy and we're always going to be healed and we're always going to feel good all the time. That's not what good means, because not all believers have good health. In fact, some of the greatest saints have suffered tremendously, physically, and it's not for their lack of faith. C.H. Spurgeon wrestled with depression. He was a pastor, and he used to have to pull himself out of bed, you know, kind of pump himself up with prayers, get into the pulpit, preach for all he was worth, and then go collapse on his bed. Darkness, depression, and all the wrestlings that he went through, and yet he brought the Lord into the valleys, and he is one of the most brilliant writers. And in describing, almost like David, though I can't quite compare him to David, but how David brought the Lord into his valleys. He brought the fellowship and intimacy of Christ into his depression, into his discouragement, into his despair. That's rich. And there are some who would teach in such a way that, oh, you should just be happy all the time. No, that's being phony. That's not being genuine. That's not being real. Nor does good mean successful by any worldly standard of the word success. There is a spiritual definition of success, but God's definition is not quite the same as ours. Nor, for that matter, does good mean happy. All things work together for me to be a Christian because I'm a Christian, I'm going to be happy all of my life. No. The Lord was a man acquainted with what? Sorrow, grief, suffering. There are a lot of sad things in life. It doesn't mean that you are not spiritual because you are filled with grief. In fact, it may be a sign of your depth of tenderness, compassion, sensitivity, intimacy with God, being like Jesus Christ, to be a person that has much grief within your heart. Nor does the word good mean admired. All things work together for good. You'll be admired. You'll be somebody, everybody will want to be like you. Have you read the Bible lately? There are many characters and stories I read in there and I go, I don't want to be them. I'm glad it was them, not me. Read Hebrews chapter 11. They were despised by the world, ridiculed by the world, bypassed by the world, stepped on by the world. The world didn't give them a second thought. They weren't admired by anybody on earth, but in heaven, whole different story. And very accurately, the writer of Hebrews, which may, we don't know for sure because whoever wrote Hebrews didn't put his name to it, but I think it was probably Paul. Nonetheless, whoever wrote Hebrews chapter 11 said this, I'll tell you about these who were despised and beaten and ridiculed and sidelined by this world and certainly not admired. The world was not worthy of them. They hid in caves. They were destitute. They were poverty-stricken. Oh, but their character and their hearts, the world was not worthy that they should have walked upon the earth. Many of them that gave their lives as martyrs for the faith. So all things work together for good. What then does the word good mean? I believe that Paul defines the word good in the very next verse, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's the good. The good is God works all things together for good. What's the good? That I'm going to be like Jesus. How many of you would agree with me? Being like Jesus is a good thing. I mean, imagine if the whole world, what if there were 7 billion Jesuses on the earth? It'd be awesome. It would be wonderful. If only we could be like him. And that's what God says, I am doing. All things work together for good. To this end, to this purpose, that we might be conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. I think about the disciples, and I get jealous and envious of them at times. I wish many times that I could have lived in a different generation than this one. I wish I could have lived 2,000 years ago. But I wish that I could have known Jesus, been a disciple, kind of, you know, not one of the 12 even, just one of the hangers-on, and yet know what I know now, the whole story, who he really is, the resurrection, everything. And I'd love to be with him, or I would love to take the Jesus from 2,000 years ago and bring him with me today. Would that be awesome? Wouldn't you love to be able to bring Jesus with you to every situation that you have? You know, let's say you're having a bad time at work, you got a boss, he's kind of taking advantage, he's not really treating you the right way, and you go, hey, Jesus, how would you like to go to work with me today? He goes, sure. And you call your boss up, hey, I've got a special meeting, I'd like you to meet my friend. Oh, would that be awesome to bring Jesus and to have him talk to your boss? Bring Jesus with you to a hospital, bring Jesus with you to somebody that's sick, and no, he has the power to lay hands on them and to heal them. We think often about how cool it would be to be with Jesus because of his miraculous power. But if we were to walk with Jesus for more than a day and a week and a month, guess what? I think that the miraculous nature of his presence and power would fade a little bit for something else that would arise. If we spent time with him, like the disciples did, we would see Jesus getting up early in the morning, staying up late at night, going off by himself, coming back, and seeing in his human face something powerful, something special, something unique happening. Where were you? What were you doing that I see something evidenced on your face? And Jesus would say, I was spending time with my Father. I was talking to my Father. I was listening to my Father. In fact, everything you see me do, I only do what I see my Father doing. And the words that I say to you, those are the things my Father whispers in my ear. You need to know my Father like I know my Father. Lord, teach us to pray. Pray like this, our Father which art in heaven. A big part of being conformed into the image of Christ is entering into our relationship as a child to our Abba, our Heavenly Father. And it's a wonderful and a marvelous thing. All things work together for good, to be conformed into the image of Jesus, to enter into this beautiful, deep intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Note the phrase, work together. All things work together. Now that translates a Greek word from which we get our English word, synergy. Synergy is the working together of different elements. You know, you've got this synergy of this and that, and they might be totally opposite, totally unrelated, but when they all work together in synergy, it creates something new, something dynamic that could never have been there without the synergy of all the elements. Paul says that on your behalf, if you love God as a child of God, all things are working together in synergy for you to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Now, in the physical realm, the right combination of otherwise harmful chemicals can produce things which are extremely beneficial. How many of you are salt lovers? Do we have any salt lovers here? My hand is going up. I love salt. Oh, how I love salt. It's not enough when I go in. I love chips and salsa, but they never have enough salt on it. So I always, you know, will put some on, and they go, hey, they're already salted, okay, and then when Vicky's not looking, you know, all over. And, I mean, I love it so much. Last night, she made a wonderful dinner with chicken, and it had this great gravy, you know, sauce on it, and then some broccoli and some melted butter. Oh, man, it was so good. But you know what? Needed some salt. Did you know that table salt is composed of two poisons, sodium and chlorine? But put those two poisons together and yum! One day Vicky got so tired of me, she said, I'm just gonna put a salt lick in the backyard, and you go like a deer, you know? Look at Psalm 25, verse 10. Let's read it out loud together. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. The Lord works things that even, you know, a particular event, circumstance, relationship, whatever, and it's toxic by itself. But the Lord will put that together with something else, and the whole of it that conforms you into the image of Christ is good. Now, thirdly, note this. This is the third parameter, that all things work together for good. We've got to know this. God uses bad things. All things work together for good. So is everything in our lives then good by themselves, or are they merely used for good? The answer is the latter. There is a kind of a false impression that's given that if you're a Christian and you really have enough faith, then no matter the worst thing that possibly happens to you, oh, that's good, you know, because all things work together for good. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't think that what Paul is saying is that now, just because I'm a Christian, everything that happens to me is good. No. What it's saying is that God will use even bad things to bring a good result. There are bad things, and I don't have to be happy about the bad things. They're bad. I don't like them. I don't like to suffer. I don't like for my heart to be broken. I don't like grief. I don't like persecution. I don't like to be sick. These are the results of sin, and sin is bad. Yet, if you have a pen or a pencil, note this. God brings good out of evil. God brings good out of evil.
Important insights from this pivotal verse in Romans chapter 8. Pastor Ray Bentley with good encouragement today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called The Best Promise of All. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Romans on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're so pleased to make available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I think many Christians read through the mentions of the Jewish feasts in the Bible in the same way they read those long lists of begats. You know, they just skim through them. Well, the feasts are a part of Jewish history and tradition that have little or nothing to do with New Testament Christianity, or so they say. But you say otherwise in this book, don't you?
Well, yes. This is something, it's not unique just to us, but it's something literally happening around the world. The church is starting to relook at the feasts of the Lord. And we've done a good job at looking at the feasts of the first coming from Passover to Pentecost. But now the church is awakening that there's three more feasts in the fall, from trumpets to tabernacles, that point to the return of Jesus Christ. And they're not called the feasts of the Jews, though they were originally. They're called the feasts of the Lord. Hmm. And so all seven, Dave, point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So these feasts are for us, and I think it's time to take a fresh look at their meaning and their purpose.
All right, and I know you do that in your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's even more to help us understand the times in which we live. The Holy Land Key is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Romans. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel
to the whole world.
Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.